Good evening. This is John Batchelor. The show begins tonight with Ukraine. What is to be done? The reports are dire. No negotiations, hints of arrangements that have broken up before about attacking energy sources. However, nuclear weapons are always brandished by Russia, and there's reason to believe that Mr. Zelensky believes that Moldova and Georgia are now falling under Russia's boot, and his country is next. The presidential election will determine the direction in Ukraine. Mr. Trump says he'll settle. Ms. Harris says, as long as it takes. In other words, another year of war. Then we turn to the question of Taiwan, speaking with Mary Kissel. Her time as senior advisor to the Secretary of State taught her a proverb she repeated: don't trust, but verify. No trust for Russia, no trust for China. What does the Harris administration mean for Taiwan? What does the Trump administration mean for Taiwan, given the threats from the mainland? Thaddeus McCotter joins me, and we speak with David Daoud about the new leader at Hezbollah Beirut. He's been there all the time. He's passed over several times. Senior figure, chosen by Iran. The IDF has made it very clear that he's a transitory figure. They mean to put him in the crosshairs and end him. He's making threats now against Israel. I guess that's standard. We also discussed the question of the Hezbollah deployment, given the pounding they're taking from Israel. And I asked David, why not attack Iran? What's holding back? Iran's the source of this. Tariffs in China. Alan Tonelson joins Gordon Chang and myself to talk about how tariffs are the only restraint on China. It means to cheat as much as possible, to dump, to take advantage, to subsidize. It's not a worthy member of the WTO, but there it is. And then Xi Jinping's attitude towards war. Gordon and I discuss it with Jonathan Ward of the Hudson Institute. Brandon Weicker joins to express amazement at the scale of virtual gaming that's going on in China preparing for victory over America. That's right, from a game of risk to conquering Potomac River. Odd business, the Chinese. Odd business. Japan voted contrary. The LDP, in power since the 50s, is now obliged to share power. What is to be done about the policies that Japan's committed itself to defend Taiwan? Will they stand up in this new coalition? Unknown. Lance Gatling joins from Tokyo. The New World Report with Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Uruguay voting. We talked about Uruguay as a peaceful nation. A rare piece of good news in the troubled, ideologically driven, and non-transparent parts of South America. Bolivia, coup talks, theatricals. Evo Morales says there was an assassination attempt on his life. His tires were shot out. President Arce some months ago, said there was a coup attempt. He stopped it. There is the suggestion that all this is make-believe for attention. We also discussed the news of Lula da Silva, the very powerful president of Brazil, falling in a shower, leading to a possible concussion. Not attending BRICS, not attending several meetings that are important transnationally. Wish him well. He's a troubled man. He was rescued from jail by the Supreme Court Justice Di Maurice, who's troubled the opposition, a hanging judge. But mortality is a thing. The lost Mayan city found. Wonderful news. Professor Evan Ellis tells me he's visited Mayan ruins. I have not. I envy him. We turn to France, but remembering that Simon Constable in Occitan Paradise is an English-born Englishman, we talk of the tax hikes that are going from labor. Labor couldn't be gloomier. Raise taxes on businesses and expect them to grow. Mother, may I. The inflation spike in Russia was expected. Revenue decline expected because of the price of oil. Michael Bernstam watches that story very carefully for me since the beginning of the war. Hotel Mars. Great episode with Ian Pomerleau of Purdue University, who with his colleagues have come up with a model saying that the reason the ice moves strangely on the surface that they can witness, theoretical ice, this is a small, the dwarf planet Ceres, is because it's got detritus in it, muddy ice. Why? Because there was a muddy ocean in Ceres once. This is a dwarf planet, about 558 miles across. It's in the asteroid belt, but that's not where it was born. It's round. It wasn't collision. Asteroid belt's made up of colliding bodies. Probably comes from the Neptune area. It's got a core, so it has heat radiation. And at one time, it maybe had an ocean, a muddy ocean. And that's what Ian and his colleagues have asserted, and a deal of attention. Good for Ian. Much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Especially the dwarf planet series, which Ian makes the extra point that we're going to Europa now to get a sample of the under ice ocean we believe is there. Well, that's a billion miles away. The asteroid belt's a lot closer, just on the other side of Mars. Let's go to Ceres. David Livingston agrees. Ian Pomerleau agrees. We just need Musk to agree, and we'll go to Ceres. Thank you for listening.